everyone, and welcome back to Kathy is In. Sorry, I like to keep the music going because it makes me dance. You can't see it, but it's happening. Welcome back, everyone. This is Kathy is In. I am your host, psychotherapist Kathy DeBono, and I am in, and I am here to take your calls and give my advice for whatever it's worth on whatever problems or issues or questions you might have. And today, my guest is filmmaker extraordinaire, Jane Clark.
Hey, Kath. Hey, everybody.
She's already cute, isn't she? So you can go to filmmqueen.com if you want to hear see what's going on in your world, right?
Yeah.
Two M's. Filmmqueen.com. So Jane and I have known each other for a very long time, haven't we?
Yeah, we don't talk how long.
No, we won't talk how long. Jane was one of the first people I met here in L.A. when I moved here in 95.
Wow.
So that pretty much tells you how long.
Wow.
Yeah. We were both aspiring actors, and Jane has since become a producer and writer and director.
And editor.
And editor. Oh, my God,
an
editor.
Craft service.
And all of it. Some of you may have seen a short film that Jane did called The Touch. And that was one of our first endeavors where I stepped in and we actually did something together. I just helped her cast. I was there to be her reader and helped her cast the ladies.
Pictures. You did?
Oh, yeah. I did the still photography. That was actually really fun.
And you did a great job.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That DP of yours had a really cool camera.
Yeah.
That was fun to play with.
Yeah. free bonus equipment.
Yeah, exactly. So today, guys, we're just going to do an open forum. I didn't want to be too bossy or too directive. I thought, let everybody else decide what they want to talk about. Give me a call and Jane here at 818-602-4929. And today we're just doing a straight up call-in show about what's your problem today? What's your problem? Do you have any questions? Do you have any issues? Do you have any relationship stuff going on? Do you have someone at work who's driving you crazy? Do you need some advice? Give us a call, 818-602-4929. Right before we got here, Jane and I went and had coffee, so I'm a little bit shot out of a cannon. That was really strong.
Yeah, it was really strong.
And I haven't had coffee in like 3 weeks, so yeah. I'm like...
Rocket fuel, I told you.
Rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Yes. So Jane has just written a script called Crazy Bitches. Let's tell them about that until someone calls in.
Okay. Well, I think self-explanatory to a degree. Crazy Bitches.
No,
it's eight women or eight girlfriends, with one of them being a fabulous gay man, go into the woods to have a fun little long weekend, drinks, hiking, gabbing, that kind of thing. And one by one, each girl gets killed by her own vanity.
Killed by her own vanity. I'm just going to let that linger out there for a second. Okay.
It's actually interesting because I think it's going to be really funny, but it's also an underlying in the script is this idea of what vanity does to friendships and to your own place in the world.
I mean, to ourselves, right?
Ourselves,
it starts to degrade our sense of self first, and then of course that's going to predict how we behave in our relationships. We have a call, and then we'll get back to Crazy Bitches after
okay.
that. Let's see what's going on.
Bitches on air.
Hey. I tuned in just in time to hear you say that.
Hi.
Hi, who's
Kathy?
This?
This is Kamisha.
Oh, hi, Kamisha. How are you?
Great.
Kamisha,
I just wanted to call in,
is...
but you're doing a great job, and I did have a question for you.
Okay, great. Well, first I want to tell our great listeners who you are. Kamisha is a lovely, lovely person with TransformationTalkRadio.com, which you are also listening on. Yes. What's up, Kamisha?
So, I just have a little bit of issue as far as relationships are concerned. If you're really spiritual and you're very open-minded, but your partner isn't, how would you suggest dealing with that? Because I know that pushing them is not the right way, but you also don't want to be in an environment that has negative energy.
Right.
So I guess I'm just kind of curious what your take on that is.
So when you say you're spiritual and open, but your partner is not, when you say open-minded, are you speaking particularly about spiritual ideas and concepts, or are you talking about anything like politics, religion? What do you mean by
spiritual ideas and concepts and just, you know, positive outlooks of, you know, just being a lot more open-minded to, I guess, the positive, optimistic maybe is the word I'm looking for.
Right.
And he is very, he likes to say realistic, but I feel like you create your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So is he, has he adopted sort of a negative, fearful approach to the world rather than an open, optimistic approach?
Right.
Yeah. This is really common. I mean, this is really common. And now, is this something that has been his personality his whole life, or is he going through something right now that's making him, you know, that kind of perspective or choice when approaching your life is based on fear, for sure. If we look at things through a negative perspective, we feel like we're going to be able to scan our environment, notice where the danger is, and have a leg up before that dangerous thing comes. You know, if we stay scared, we're going to stay alert.
That's exactly. I think it's been. I think it's a lifetime thing, and I see changes, but it's also, you know, you just kind of. I don't know. I guess I want to make sure that I'm being as supportive as possible to try to lift him up and support him. But it, sometimes I find an issue with, you know, keeping that my positive, optimistic view.
Yeah.
When I'm constantly around that, but I love him so much.
Right.
So that's the tough thing, you know.
Yeah, it is so tough. It is absolutely contagious, a negative perspective.
Yeah.
Jane has something to say. I can see it in her eyes.
I was just wondering what his family is like, or his parents are, you know, because sometimes those things are learned behaviors from your growing up period, you know, for somebody in his life who behaved that way, and he learned that that's the way he should behave.
Right. His mom is actually just like me. Her birthday is the day before mine. So she's, like, really bubbly and upbeat. But I know his dad was pretty negative as well. So.
Okay. So what Jane is saying makes sense. I mean, it seems like he's learned to carry that role, and he's learned to find a strong, positive woman to have in his life to carry the other role.
Right. Wow. Okay. I didn't even think of that part. Yeah. So that's what he's attracted. That's how we attracted each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, probably true. Yeah. That's exactly how you attracted each other. But I almost would think that he'd be, you know, this isn't your problem to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the best thing you can do is encourage him to go to talk to somebody that can actually help him. Not to be queer, but turn his smile upside down. Whatever that is. Yeah, you know, just to learn to have a better mental outlook. I don't think you can teach him that. You can help him along, but I think ultimately it seems like it's a lifetime of behavior that needs a stronger hand to overturn it.
Yeah, Jane is right on. This is a perspective. This is this requires a perspective shift, and I don't know, Kamisha, if it's ever the right thing for us to believe that we can change someone's perspective. We can certainly be an influence in their life. We can certainly be a motivator. We can certainly encourage them. And we can certainly, hopefully, know when we've made all best efforts and when it's time to get out. And I know that might sound harsh, but if someone is turning your life and their energy is more contagious upon you in a negative way than yours is upon them in a positive way, sometimes you have to know when to fold them and move on. So I just want you to know to not to try to think that you have control over this, but you do want to stay communicative with him and tell him what you feel and how you think.
And I think also check in with yourself all the time too, to make sure that you're not letting it become overwhelming to you or to change the way you look at your own life, you know, because we can slip subconsciously into.
It's so easy.
Yeah. It's so easy.
It's so easy. Thank you, Kamisha.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. And you're doing just a wonderful job. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
She is so lovely. I met Kamisha in Seattle. And I can't imagine Kamisha being in a situation where anyone around her is negative. She is such a ball of light.
Yeah, but that attracts.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Even as I say that, I'm like, of course she's attracted. Of course someone who needs help, you know, staying connected to that light found her.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me either.
And I'd like to think that we can positively affect our partners and help change their negative into positive, but it really depends on how rooted in they are to that negative perspective, feeling like it's their survival system.
Yeah. Well, and whether they have the capability of recognizing it and then wanting to do something about it.
Right.
Themselves, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Yepper.
Yepper. So I want to take a little break right now and play a really cool song. It's by a band called Kelly's Lot that I love. They're a local band. And this is called Tight.
What's it called?
And baby, I'm blue. I'm so
That was Kelly's Lot. I love them.
They're great.
How awesome is her voice?
Her voice is great.
Yeah.
I was thinking, though, I'm feeling a little pink.
You're feeling pink?
Yeah, I don't feel blue. I feel pink.
Tell me about the pink.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Actually,
it sounds like
dirty
it feels nice
now.
To feel pink. Now you just turned completely pink. I thought you were going to tell me about... We had coffee beforehand. Yeah, we had coffee beforehand, and Jane was talking about how good she feels.
I do feel really good. You know, it's an amazing thing that when you start getting more confident in what you do and you start actually filling your life with the things that you care about, it just encourages you to want to feel better.
It does.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
it does.
I just finished, you know, I finished a film that Kathy was actually in called Meth Head, and we're wrapping it up now, but we shot it last December, and I stopped eating junk on the set. I was just eating nuts and fruit and things like that, and I lost like 5 or 6 pounds just because I was not eating.
and she was only eating nuts and fruit because there were some of us walking around popping them in her mouth and going,
eat.
Chew this.
Eat. But the beautiful thing was I woke up after it was over and I thought, man, I feel really good. I accomplished this amazing thing and I'm really proud of myself and I'm really excited. And physically, I was feeling a little leaner and a little better. And I just got up that morning and did a 45-minute hike and then started eating fruits and nuts all the time.
You're looking amazing. You keep dropping weight, and your color is great. And you have more of a brightness in your eyes. And, you know, we did a show here once about getting connected to your body, an episode here on Kathy Is In. And one of the things that came up was it's so hard to get reconnected to your body. A lot of fear comes up about, like, you know, once you've put on some weight and it's been a few months since you've been to the gym, and then all of this fear comes up about starting it again as if it's going to be impossible or as if it's going to be this tremendous, overwhelming, insurmountable task. And then lo and behold, you go to the gym twice and you already feel better.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never known anyone who went ahead and took on the challenge that didn't feel better afterwards, yet there's still this fear around it, around getting started.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too. One of the things I was thinking about, this idea of, for me, some of my weight was connected with my appearance, so that it was easier for me not to take on the attention that came with being thinner. But that also knocked my self-esteem.
Mm.
And then so inversely, when my self-esteem went up and my confidence level went up and my pride in myself went up, that holding on to the weight wasn't necessary anymore. Yeah.
Isn't that wild? How we can do stuff like that to protect ourselves emotionally without even realizing that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's something that is such a good idea to get curious about. What is the relationship to my body that is protecting me in some way, in some other way, in some emotional or mental way? The call-in number is 818-602-4929. It's an open forum today and Kathy Is In. Call us. You have questions. We have answers. 818-602-4929. Don't be shy. This is what y'all do. You wait until like the last 5 minutes of the show, and then everybody calls in at once. And guess what? I can't answer in the last 5 minutes of the show. So call in now, folks. Just do it anonymously. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared.
You know, the other thing that I was going to say that made a difference? Schedule.
Mm.
You know, I just decided, all right, every day I'm going to get up, I'm going to have my coffee, I'm going to read the paper, and then I'm just going to put the clothes on and go.
Do you still read the paper, Jane?
No, I do. Yeah.
Like an actual paper?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cute.
I know, I get the ink on my fingers and everything.
That's nice.
And then I do the crossword.
Yeah, how very 1990 of you.
I know. I'm clinging to the past. But you know, just the staying on the schedule. And even if, you know, somebody wants, say, a friend stays the night or something, I was like, I'll get up and go. I'm like, well, you better get up and go when I'm going, because I'm not changing my schedule for you.
So commitment to the schedule is really important.
Yeah,
that's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a hard one, especially when you're not someone who wakes up early in the morning. I mean, there are folks whose brain chemistry just is not, I mean, Jill, my girlfriend, she pops out of bed in the morning like, good morning, good morning, la, 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 la. And I wake up as if I've been in a tomb in another planet, and, you know, it takes me a really long time to get all of my things aligned inside myself and feel like I can get up and function.
But then you just schedule your workout, you know, that every day at noon you go before lunch or something. You know, you just have to make schedule. This, but it's consistency, I think, is it. You know, just staying with it, just knowing that this is the way you're going to do it every single day.
Right.
And you stop thinking about it, because I used to get up and go argue with myself. You know, I don't know. Do I want to go? Kind of tired today. I don't know.
It's so easy to make it the last thing on the list. I mean, so especially if you get busy.
Don't think about it. Yeah. Don't argue with yourself. Don't even let the... In the minute I start thinking, maybe I should talk to myself about whether I really want to work out today, I just shut my brain and I go.
It can't be an option, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing that I have a problem with, is if I'm trying to do an early morning workout. I mean, here's what's hands down has been across the board I can count on. If I get up and go work out immediately, I feel better. I have a better day. The pain of waking up is pretty much over as soon as I start working out. You know, when I first wake up, I feel like I'm going to be in pain, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to last for 3 hours, and it just doesn't. Yet this morning...
Are you an old Jewish lady all of a sudden?
You know, I do think I have an old Jewish lady inside me.
I think so, too.
I think I might.
Yeah.
I love them.
I do, too.
They're hilarious.
They're adorable.
818-602-4929. Are you an old Jewish lady that can't get out of bed in the morning and work out? We want to hear from you. You know, this morning, Jill got up and went to boot camp.
Good for her.
And we've been doing it on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And she tried to get me to get up today on a Tuesday.
Rude.
And I just wasn't having it.
Yeah.
I went back to sleep. But, you know, here I am, and I wish that I would have gone. So I'm going to have to go later this afternoon. You know, we brought up crazy bitches earlier, and we brought up vanity and how vanity can harm you or harm the others in your life or really degrade your sense of self. And here we are talking about working out and getting in shape and feeling better when we look better. And, like, what's the difference between feeling better when you look better or feeling better because you are better? You should see Jane's stymied face right now.
I mean, there's no harm in looking better and being proud of looking good. It's how it manifests, and how, you know, and whether you're dictated by it. It's like, you know, if you're a woman and you take your power from your external appearance as opposed to what you have to offer with your intelligence and creativity and, you know, that kind of thing, then I think that you do damage to yourself ultimately, because looks don't last forever. And well, mine do. But I mean, you know, yours are going to go.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks a lot.
But you know, they don't. And, you know, you go from, you know, the 20-year-old cute kid to the 35-year-old not kid anymore to the 50-year-old, okay, what is that, to the 65-year-old that wants to still be viable. So how do you, you know, you're going to have to transition into all these different phases in your life. Yeah. You can't depend on...
And it doesn't get any easier as you get older, because your body kind of becomes more fragile.
Becomes a bitch.
It doesn't heal the way it used to. And working out is a process of breaking down your body and healing. So, I mean, it doesn't heal the way it used to. It takes longer. I'm having surgery again at the end of this month. Speaking of healing, I'm having my shoulder done again. I like to have an orthopedic surgery every 2 years.
just stay like to regular.
I like to go in and have a joint rebuilt. I don't know what my problem is. My problem is I played volleyball and I played really hard, and now I'm paying the price.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I wouldn't go back and I wouldn't change it. You know, I had a great time. But speaking of healing, I will be having shoulder surgery at the end of October if all goes planned and the insurance company doesn't try any tricks. And I am finding that every 2 years when I have these orthopedic surgeries, they're just a little bit harder to come back from, because your body is not generating those cells as quickly as they used to.
Yeah.
I mean, my first one I had when I was 21, and I bounced back really quickly.
That's, well,
21 is
and there that is.
818-602-4929 is the call-in number. If you have anything going on, Jane and I are here and ready to give you our 2 cents. In the meantime, though, and don't call during the song, folks, because then I can't answer. And that just, you know, that's just sneaky. You're just trying to call during the song, so you don't have to really call. I want to play a really sexy song called While You're Here by Allie Handel. And she's going to be a guest on the show at some point, too. But I love this song. Let's share it with them. Me and Jane are going to go do some push-ups. That was Allie Handel, H-A-N-D-A-L. I love that song. Isn't that song sexy?
It rocks.
Jesus, it's sexy. Allie will be here at some point. We haven't picked a date yet, but we're talking, and I want to ask her about that song. If you listen to the story of that song, I want to be like, Allie, did you do that? And whose boyfriend was it?
Because it's wrong.
Because it's wrong. So during the break, Jane and I were direct Twitter to question, and that you can always do that. You can direct Twitter me at Kathy is in. This person wanted to stay anonymous and was too nervous to call. But here's their question. She is a lesbian. She's in a relationship, a 5-year relationship. She lives with her girlfriend, and they have sex using toys. And this...
Who doesn't? Sorry.
And her concern is that her girlfriend really prefers her to strap on a dildo when they have sex rather than not. I guess this is how she prefers it. And so the girl who wrote the question is afraid that this might be an indication that her girlfriend is still straight. Apparently this is her first lesbian relationship, the woman she's in the relationship with. And her concern is, if my partner always wants me to wear a dildo, doesn't that mean she's really craving straight sex?
Okay, so the partner that likes the dildo is a first time lesbian relationship.
Yeah. But they've been together a substantial amount of time. It's been 5 years.
Well, you know, sex isn't about the appendages necessarily.
You can see Jane's face, and it's all pink.
I hate that I blush. But the connection is emotional, and it's... also something almost that you can't put your finger on. You can't really put a name to, but when you're really connected to somebody, it goes beyond a logic. So just because somebody likes a little added...
Here's the thing. I don't think being a lesbian means that you disconnect from the way your body was built. I mean, when women get turned on, our bodies still respond exactly the same way that a straight woman's body would respond in terms of sexual arousal. The thing that's arousing you is your brain and the person that you're with. And because it's an inanimate object that mimics a male body part does not mean that your partner is having sex with a man. She's having sex with you, and her body still craves the same kind of...
Finish work.
I mean, our bodies are made to find that enjoyable. Not every woman finds penetration enjoyable, but women are built to find penetration enjoyable. And whether you do or don't has nothing to do with your sexual orientation.
No, not at all.
Your sexual orientation has to do with the partner that you choose. So I would hate to see you remain concerned about this for too much longer. Your partner is with you. She wants you to be doing the act and not some man. And she's just enjoying her body the way it's built and the things that it's built to accept.
Yeah. And also I think there's a degree of, I mean, she obviously trusts you because she's been free in saying this is what I want. And that's a real sign of a very open, passionate relationship when the other person feels that they can be honest about what turns them on and still want to be with you. I mean, I think that's incredibly important. So also you have to be careful about not wanting to shut her down.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've shared with her that this concerned you, but don't apply this to yourself as though this means she doesn't want you. She's asking you to put that dildo on.
Because let's face it, you can find a real one all over the place.
Oh, please.
You don't have to stick around in a relationship you don't want to be in.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so she's just letting you know what her body enjoys, and she wants you to be the one to provide it. So I think you're doing just fine.
Yeah, me too.
The call-in number is 818-602-4929. And I also wanted to let you guys know, if you want to be in a chat room and hang out with some folks who listen to the show and go into the chat, go to kathyisin.com. And click the radio show tab. There's a chat room there, and you can hang out and join the discussion with people in there. 818-602-4929. I'm here with filmmaker Jane Clark. Jane, when can we see Meth Head anyway?
I don't know. I'm just finishing it right now.
Can you just briefly tell folks what it's about?
It started based on my friend John's addiction to methamphetamine, and it's sort of burgeoned out from there, and it's sort of an amalgam now of a bunch of different stories. But it takes you through one man's addiction. He goes from having a beautiful everything, boyfriend, home, job, and, you know, one bad night decides to party with meth, thinking it was going to be just a harmless night of fun, and the addiction overtook him, and he loses everything, and it's... But it has a hopeful feel to it, and it's honest, and...
It's a story that's happened to a lot of gay men.
A lot of people. Not just gay men.
Exactly. I want to go back on that. I don't mean just gay men, but it is an epidemic in the gay male community.
No, it's definitely bad. I think that it attacks communities, so it's not just gay communities, but, you know, truck drivers have a huge problem with it. Because they usually start to try to maintain long hauls and to stay up, and then find themselves, a mess. Yeah. Soccer moms in the Midwest.
Do they still give it to fighter pilots? I know in World War II they were giving amphetamines to fighter pilots.
It's so illegal. No.
It should be illegal.
No. But they did. They gave it to guys in the foxholes, too, so they would stay awake during the war.
It's not stopped the military from doing anything illegal. I mean, they're waterboard and all kinds of... And I'm not trying to piss off our military.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, war is a scary place to be, and I'm sure if you need to break the rules to survive, you're going to do it.
I don't know if... You know, I've heard a lot of stories, because once we started putting this project together, we got a lot of stories from a lot of people. I mean, we would do interviews for crew members, and someone would go, I have to tell you, and, you know, I hope I can work on this film, because my cousin, my mother, my uncle, my lover, you know, everybody had a story about what their experience with either meth addiction or a meth addict.
Yeah.
And there were a number of stories about ex-military, you know, people who have come home from Iran and Iraq and have been unable to sort of feel comfortable back in their place here, who have become, you know, who tried the drug to feel better and found themselves caught up in an addiction. And one of the crew members, her brother, they haven't talked to him in years. He just disappeared. They know he's in Colorado somewhere. But he just became a, you know, serious meth addict and left.
It's horrifying.
Left everything, lost everything. Yeah.
And the thing that's most horrifying about it is it's the drug lies to people. I mean, I think the first time you use it, it feels really euphoric, and then they're chasing that high and never get it back.
Yeah. Well, the most dangerous thing about this is that it's actually a physical change to the body. It's not just a chemical addiction or a psychological addiction, but it actually physically alters your, deadens your nerve endings, basically makes it impossible for you to, eventually becomes very difficult for you to feel, to bring dopamine in.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop feeling good. So from the first time you try it, you deaden your cells, your nerve endings a little bit. And so each time you go back to use it again, it does it a little bit more, which makes you only need it a little bit more so that you can start feeling good again. But the problem is that it's a diminishing return, so eventually you wake up in the morning and you're not trying to feel better, you're just trying to feel normal.
Yeah. It's an awful drug. We have a caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the radio with Kathy and Jane. Who's calling?
This is, I guess I don't want to use my real name.
Sure, make up a name.
Let's say I'm Jane.
Okay, you're Jane too. What's going on?
Okay, so I am dating this amazing girl. I've been dating probably 3 months. She's rapid gorgeous. She's just the most beautiful girl. My son called her Baby Spice. She looks like Baby Spice in this place.
She looks like what?
Baby Spice.
Oh, Baby Spice.
Baby Spice from the Spice Girls.
Okay.
And,
I was like,
she keeps the kids with autism, so she's got, like, lots of patience. She's got a big heart. And, so we've been dating, and we're dating, and she tells me she's going to go to L.A. and hang out with one of her good friends. And she tells me that sometimes she likes to make out with her friend and shower with her friend. And that's really not cool with me. And I don't know if I have any place to say that she can't or cannot do that, or how I should feel about that, or what I should do.
Okay. So basically, she's playing a semantics game with you and telling you sometimes I like to make out with my friends or shower with my friends is basically saying I'm going to do whatever I want. You need to be okay with it. And she's just wording it differently. It's semantics. And you have to decide if you accept this or you don't accept this. This isn't something that you can change in her. So you're saying, you know, do I have the right to make a rule and say she can or can't do this? I think what you have a right to do is to tell her what you will or will not accept in terms of your relationship with her and what you're comfortable with, and then you have to let her make the decision.
Yeah, I think it's really important for you to decide first what you're capable of accepting for yourself, because you don't want this relationship to turn into something that's abusive, even in behavior or word, or that makes you feel less than in any way. Then it's not a healthy and good relationship. Then it becomes a damaging relationship.
Yeah.
So
yeah, call her Jane. What, are you somewhere in your early 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm turning 25 on Friday.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And
thank you.
I'm going to guess that the girl you're dating is of similar age.
Yeah, she's 2 years younger than I am.
Okay. When we're in relationships in our 20s, we're really trying folks on. We're really trying on situations. We're really seeing how we fit in relationships, how relationships fit into our lives. And our 20s really are sort of a series of experiences. And you know, folks are getting partnered and married later and later, which I think is smart. I think it's smart to wait until you know who you are, until you know what kind of partner is good for you, and until you learn more about yourself. But until then, when we move through our 20s and we take on relationships like this, and it sounds like the girl that you're dating really has a taste for trying on these kinds of dynamics. And I would never pretend to know hands down what someone is going to do, but I'm going to tell you, she's going to do this. She's going to do this whether you like it or not. And you need to decide if you accept this or don't accept this. I think accepting it would drive you insane.
It just
Yeah, well, here's the thing is I'm leaving for Vegas for a couple days, and I said to her, you know, are you going to put me on lockdown? Are you going to ask me to be your girlfriend? Are you going to put a ring on it so that when I go to Vegas, you know, like, I'm yours? And she's like, no, go to Vegas, have fun, get crazy, go do whatever you're going to do. But I think she's just saying that so I could be like, okay, well, while you are in L.A., with your friend, you can do whatever you want to do. I think that's what she's trying to get out of it. You know?
She is.
She already did it. She did. By saying that, she just gave herself permission.
You know what you have to love? She's being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
This you need to be thankful for. This she gets cred for. She's being completely honest. She's doing what she needs to do to explore and enjoy her life. And she's, you know, you're a part of it, and she's letting you know what it looks like. But believe people when they tell you who they are. Believe people when they tell you what they will and will not promise you. And it's really going to be damaging for you to try and talk her out of that. You don't want to talk someone out of that. You want someone to pick you because you're the one that they choose. You want someone to not shower with their friends and not make out with other people because you're the one they want to be doing that with. If they're making that choice, you need to remind yourself that if that's the person making that choice, then that's not the person that you want. You want a dynamic where they want you. Am I right about that?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I see it through so much more, like, clearly hearing it from, you know, somebody who's not in the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. It's easy to get when you're wrapped up and you're kind of, you know, dreamy-eyed about someone.
And you want it. You want it to work out. You want it to be right. So you know, you can find yourself making concessions that are not good for you in order to hold on to something that isn't real to begin with, or isn't right for you to begin with. I shouldn't say isn't real, but isn't right for you in the way you want to live your life.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I don't want you trying to devolve into someone who's okay to be in a relationship where these are the rules and these are the guidelines. That, to me, is devolving. By that, I mean your willingness to be in a monogamous relationship and to be committed to that relationship, even when she's not in the room with you, I think is a more evolved place to be. And I think you should stand by it. And don't try to devolve in order to have this person in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I'm now, sure doing it is going to be a little bit harder than, you know, I know what I have to do, but doing it is the hard part.
I know. You're going to stay wrapped up in this for a little while, I can tell. Just by the way you introduced her, you're like, she's hot and she's awesome.
I know. Well, and here's another thing is she just got out of a relationship, and I'm sure there's so many other lesbians who get told, not even just people in general. She had a mutual pet. They had, like, a pet together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they split, And now they treat the pet like a child, where they have, like, weekends where the dog can be one place and the dog can be another place.
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, and I'm trying to walk into it like, oh, you know, it's like, treat it like a child and be like, well, you know, it's something that they have, you know, like, mutually, and they love this one thing. And so I'm trying to be cool with her and the dog. And I love the dog. The dog's great. There's that, and then
I want to help you with this. I want you to adopt the perspective that whenever she doesn't, you don't have her attention, whenever her attention or her priorities are elsewhere, then you need to put yours elsewhere. It's not about what's wrong with me. It's not about why isn't her attention on me. It's not about why am I not good enough, or how do I become more of what she wants so that I can wow this person. It's none of that. I don't want to watch you waste a second getting roped into that. I want you to, when you notice her attention's not on you and her attention is somewhere else, then put yours somewhere else.
Okay.
It'll make you more appealing to her, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't want you to do it for that reason.
No, don't do it for that reason. I'm sorry. I said the wrong thing.
No, it's true. I mean, that will be the backlash, probably. But yeah. But I want you to do it because you're taking care of yourself. Okay.
And, well, should I keep my options open and just start looking for, you know, maybe a different partner, too?
I think so. I think you're ready for a different kind of relationship than this girl is ready for, and you need to honor that.
I do. Agreed. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, sweetie.
I can't even tell you how much clarity you've given me.
Awesome.
Cool.
Good. Have fun in Vegas.
Yeah, really. Win something.
Well, now that we've spoken, I'm
going to
fucking get crazy.
Oh, jeez. What have we done?
Lesbians of Vegas, hi. I'm coming for you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay,
bye. She was adorable.
Very cute.
I know where she is.
I do, too.
I know where she is. I don't want her to waste another second staying there. 818-602-4929. We only have about 1 minute left to take a call. But Jane and I will. Jane, you look surprised.
Yeah, it went fast.
It did go fast. Yeah. So 818-602-4929. This is your chance to call in before the show is over. Yes, I just whacked my kneecap on the table. That's so wonderful.
Hey, you never know when something funny is going to happen on this show.
Did something funny happen?
Yeah.
You never know it.
And now, the Kathy is in 5-minute feature.
Musician Jennifer Corday.